As we've been talking about acceptable affairs, and I did 2 weeks on anxiety, fear, worry, and all of that, because all of that just feeds one another. Amen. And several people have come up to me and have told me, Pastor, listen, on the anxiety, thank you for that. And I never realized. And then they start telling me all the scriptures that they learned that is helping them deal with anxiety. And so praise God for that. Amen. And then last week, we had the acceptable affairs. Does anybody remember what it was? Forgiveness. Yes, there's a few people that were awake. I love it. Some of you were like, I think it's forgiveness, but I ain't saying a word. And then others were like, if I say something now, he might call on me later. Don't worry. If you're visiting, I don't call on you. I just don't do that. So anyway, it was on forgiveness. And what I really loved about last week was there were many people who have been holding grudges, anger, who haven't talked to people for years, and they just called them up. They're like, Pastor, I called so-and-so. I haven't talked to him for years. And I just told him, I'm sorry, and asked him to forgive me. And I thought, man, that was, and I'm telling you, when I say there was at least a dozen people that made phone calls last week or within the last week to rectify relationships. And the amazing part about that is when they talked to the people and they said, I'm sorry, the ones that they apologized to were like, man, it's good. It's good. And so they were able to bring these relationships together. You know, guys, that's what it's all about. Amen. And so let me encourage you, if there's someone that you need to go to, just go to them. If nothing else, you fix that disease that's eating you up inside, right? If nothing else, it fixes you. Amen. Whether they receive it or not is not on you. That's between them and God. What God holds us accountable for is the relationships that we fail to fix. And so I was so excited last week to hear. And then there were some that said, hey, Pastor, listen, I heard what you said, and I do need to call people. I'm just not ready yet. Let me help you. If you don't do it when the iron's hot, it's probably not going to happen. And so don't put it off. Make it happen sooner than later. Amen. And everybody will be the better for it. I promise you. Well, today's acceptable affair is you, yourself, right? Because we are allowed to have an affair with ourselves. We are somebody. We deserve to be recognized. We deserve to be lifted up. We deserve to have position. We deserve, listen, you don't know how good I am, right? And so we have these affairs with ourselves. I remember back in the day, and the Army had this commercial out, an army of one. Give me a break. Really? Really? Okay, Bubba, go on the battlefield. In the heat of war, I'll buy your lonesome. And if you do happen to make it back, let me know how it went. An army of one. The most arrogant statement ever. Amen. And some of you are like, no, I liked it. No, you don't understand. There is, if you're an army of one, you get signed up in the military. And then when the drill instructor starts telling you what to do, you go, no, you don't understand. I'm my own army. See how well that goes. I promise you, you will find yourself digging holes out in a desert somewhere and filling them back in until you're exhausted. An army of one. And then how about this? And today, especially today, right? TikTok, YouTube, all these videos, and what is it? It's all about me. It's all about, oh, wait a minute. I forgot. I need a selfie. Let's post that, baby. Woo, that looks good, man. I'm looking good, right? It's like, are you crazy? But we are so consumed with ourselves. I didn't get enough likes. Doesn't anybody like me? I did. That picture was so good. My hair was almost parted perfect. And we go into this whole thing, and it's a me, 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 me. We live in a me society, amen? We really do. And I'm telling you, the younger generation, they're in deep doo-doo. I'm just saying, it is Oh my goodness. And parents, yeah, I'm going to talk to you just for a moment. Take those cell phones away from them. And you go, you don't understand. They'll have a meltdown. It only lasts for so long. Saves you a bunch of money and it could save your child. We live in a me society. I need to be recognized. And the Bible is contrary to that. The Bible talks about humility, right? So today, because the me society is all about pride. Let's just get right to it. It's pride. You have a pride issue. How many here are willing to say, I have a pride issue? Amen. And for everyone that didn't raise their hand, you are the ones I'm preaching to. Because these are... Because you have a problem and you're not recognizing it. At least those other ones are like, hey, man, I need it, right? Pray for me. I'm just kidding. Not really. I'm preaching to everyone here today. But I titled this one, The Peril of Pride. The Peril of Pride. So what I want to do is I want to go through this, and we're just going to look at five things today, and hopefully I get them done quickly and not, what else do you got better today to do than, don't tell me the Bills are playing, because, man, I will have my ushers hogtie you and we will display you out on 90 somewhere over a bridge. Anyway, listen, we're going to look and we're going to kind of hang in this passage for a while, Proverbs chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 6, and we're going to look at 16 through 19. And as we unfold these, I want you to see some really interesting things, and then we're just going to keep looking or keep going through this and unfolding the five perils of pride. Because the reality is, guys, we all wrestle with pride. Amen. Listen, there are times where, and it's crazy because believe it or not, I do not like attention. I don't like being up front. God's called me to do this. And so, I just man up and do it, but you have no clue how much prayer time goes into, before I come up here. And then when I'm standing up here, you guys are singing, I'm praying. Oh, Lord, Lord, please forgive me, Lord. Any wrong I've ever done, wash me white as snow. Father, speak through me. And I mean, I'm just begging God's hand on me. Because here's what I realize. I realize that if God's hand is not on me, I am going to fall flat on my face. And so I beg God. And then there's times where I'll see something and I'll be like, I should have that. Well, that's pride, right? I should have it. How about I deserve it? You forgot about me, right? Anybody else get like that? Come on, the rest of you are so evil. You won't even raise your hand to truth. I'm just, listen, pride is a dangerous sin. And I don't know, Adrian Rogers said this, I don't know of anything that is doing more to hold back revival, doing more to ruin and damn our nation, doing more to break up homes, doing more to blast lives, doing more to steal power from Christians, doing more to populate and fill that place called hell than the sin of pride. Adrian Rogers. And as I thought about that, as a matter of fact, the sermon is mine, but the outline is his. Because I thought, man, this guy laid it out wonderful on the five things. And I thought, okay, Lord, this is what we're going to go with. Sin is damaging and it's destroying. But it's also, pride is deceptive, isn't it? Sometimes we don't even realize we have it until someone points it out. But even when someone points it out, we go into denial. And then if all of a sudden we change and nobody wants to hang out with us and we're arrogant and prideful and someone will say, hey, look, it's like, why don't you want to hang out with me? Man, you're so arrogant. I just can't do it anymore. I am not. We won't even recognize our own sin. Why? Well, because that means that we might have to actually humble ourselves. And humility is not in the game of society today. It's not in the game of the TV shows, TikTok videos, movies, commercials, nothing. Humility is nowhere to be found. And so we have a nation that is absolutely dominated with pride. And we need to understand what pride is not before we go into what pride is. I want to point a few things out. For example, let's see, a good self-image is not pride. And you go, whoa, wait a minute. Self-esteem is not pride. You know, God gave us our identity. And so if our self-esteem and our identity is in Christ, this is an honorable thing. It's a godly thing. If our self-esteem or our identity is in ourselves, that's a bad thing. So it depends on how we look at it or what's feeding our self-esteem. It has been said, when you understand who you are in Christ, you are going to understand that God gives you a good self-image, and the grace of God exalts a man without inflating him and debases a man without humiliating him. God will lift them up without making them prideful, and he'll bring them low into humility without embarrassing him. See, when God does it, it's an amazing thing. When we do it, it is a bad thing. Are you guys catching on to this? Amen. You know, it's kind of, for example, if an athlete wins, goes to the Olympics and wins a medal, it's good to be proud of that. A lot of hard work went into it. It was a good thing. But when you get up there thinking you're all it, it becomes a bad thing. And so sometimes it is not a bad thing if it is in the right way. The Bible says in Romans 13:7, that we are to give honor to whom honor is due, right? Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to customs, fear to fear, honor to whom honor. And so when we look at this, I want to give you a few examples of who we are to honor. 1 Peter 3:7 says we are to honor our wives or our wife. Depends on how you want to take that, right? I honor my wife, just for clarity. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. Okay, first challenge. I'm up for a good challenge. Giving honor to... sorry. All the men said... Amen. Wow, you guys are what? Did you need to ask them for permission to say amen? All the men said... Oh my goodness, man, you guys are killing me. You're like, amen. No, really, Pastor asked. I'm just trying to, I'm sorry. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Ladies, you're not weak as in subservient. You're a weaker vessel in that men are just physically stronger. Men, God has put men in a leadership role, and that's where we are supposed to be, but we are to lead as Christ leads, right? And so when it says weaker vessel, it is not diminishing you, I promise you. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So stop here a minute, and I want you to see something. Men, you want God to hear your prayers? You need to dwell with your wives with understanding, and you need to honor them. You need to honor your wives, your wife, right? So that your prayers may not be hindered. How about this one? Ephesians 5:33. The Bible says that a wife is to respect her husband. Watch this. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. One of the biggest problems we have, and one of the biggest reasons that women don't respect their husbands, number one, society is training your brain. That's a bad thing. Number two, if you're not loving your wife, husbands, and ladies, if you are not respecting your husbands, here's what we have. We have a massive ego problem, and it's called pride. The only thing going to stop you from loving your spouse the way you should love your spouse is you. We don't like to look at it that way. You don't understand, Pastor. He's a dog. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. She leads the bow wow. Right? I mean, it's like the battle goes on, and the reality is you both have the problem. It's called ego. Well, Pastor, he started it. Oh, so your pride allowed you to finish it. I got it. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't matter how it looks. The bottom line is, if you are not loving one another, respecting one another, the way God says to do it, you have a pride issue, an ego issue. It is good to respect or to give honor to the husband. It is good to respect and give honor to the wife, but not the ego. And the problem in homes today, we're so focused on what we want, we don't even have time for the children, let alone the spouse. And I'm just telling you, it's a horrible thing, and pride is the killer. And you might say, Pastor, I don't like where you're going. Well, hold on, it'll change. I found this in an article that I was reading, and it says, it will be all right for her to say, honey, I'm proud of you, and give him a pat on the back. A woman is to a man what a wind is to a fire. She can fan it up or blow it out. And I'll tell you, that's true. Ladies, you diminish your husbands. Because listen, if my wife tells me, she's like, honey, I love you. Honey, man, there is nothing you can't do. Honey, you are awesome. Yeah! Right? Right? Listen, what happens? What happens, man? I'm telling you, man, when my wife encourages me and tells me she loves me, I tell her all the time, I said, you married me because of my abilities. I have the ability to fix things and I have the ability to tear them apart. I have the ability, right? I can fix a car. I can fix a house. I can fix electrical as soon as I wake back up. Listen, I'm telling you, I have the ability to fix things. And my wife, man, when she tells me that she loves me and she's proud of me, guys, I am not, man, I will fight demons in hell for her. And then if she runs me into the dirt, though, it would crush my soul. That's just the way God made us. Not because my ego needs fed, but I need to know that my wife knows that I love her and I'm going to take care of her. And then when I love my wife and she lets me love her and egos are gone, all of a sudden my wife and I have the most amazing relationship. But if she's looking for something somewhere else, I don't have a chance. And egos will collide. Bam! And the house will be destroyed. I'm just telling you, pride is good, and to give honor to someone is good. It's just got to be in a godly manner. But egos will destroy. And so you can build one another up, or you can tear one another down. You take someone, a man that loves his wife the way Christ loved the church, she glows. Especially if she allows him. You know, I got a thing in the mail from another church, and I won't say which church it is, but it was like, hey, Pastor, we want you to let your women know that we have a conference for them. And I kept reading, and it says, the conference is Empowering Women. She might need to get up here and preach. Feminism is horrible, right? And when I read that, Empowering Women, and then you have the guest speakers or women pastors, we've already violated Scripture because the Bible says women can't be pastors. And I'm not beating up on women. I'm just telling you what the Scriptures say. And now we want to empower them. Empower them to do what? That's society talking. Because the Bible says that women are to respect their husbands and husbands are to love their wives, and we're to do it biblically. We don't need to empower one against the other. Ego. Ego, that's all that does is feed the ego, empowering women. Ladies, you have the power if you do it God's way. And so I just want you to know, pride, that very statement is a prideful statement. And they put people in leadership that with a position or an office that's not even theirs to hold. So we're just ungodly coming out in the bulletin. And I'm just saying, we can't do that. We have to do it God's way, because that just builds pride. The Bible doesn't condemn pride, having pride with doing a good job, right? We're supposed to do a good job. Listen, if you sweep the floor, you sweep the corners. Someone say amen. Listen, cobwebs live in the corners. That's all I'm going to tell you. Get them out of there, right? Listen, we're supposed to do a good job. Not brag about the job we do. God says, whatever you do it as unto the Lord. And so many of us are like, you didn't thank me for what I did, and I had to work 2 hours today, and I shouldn't have to work. It's like, are you kidding me? We've lost. I can't even go there. It's another sermon. I'm just, listen, you know what? You shouldn't walk around going, I made my bed today. No, you know what? You should have made your bed. You should have cleaned your room. This is what you're supposed to do. You should put your dishes away. You should, listen, you need to do, if I'm walking in a parking lot and I'm passing trash, you know what I'll do? I'll pick it up. You know why? Because it doesn't belong on the ground. It belongs in a trash can. I don't want nobody telling me, you're so wonderful. You picked up that trash. Well, if you would have picked it up, I wouldn't have had to. Right? I mean, listen, you know what? You shouldn't be praised because you dressed yourself up. If you don't dress yourself up, you're just sloppy. Right? We just do some things because they're the right things to do. We're not looking for praise on it, right? Because we just do it. And so we ought to do our work with pride. There's nothing wrong with that. But boy, when we want our pat on the back because of what we should have done, that's ego. There's a problem, and it is pride. And the Bible condemns pride. The number one thing of pride that God condemns, and we're going to see it as we go through, is an attitude of independence from God. That's when it's sinful. It's an attitude of independence from God. I can do it myself. I don't need you. I don't need help. And God's like, really? You can't take a breath of air unless I allow you. You can't move a finger unless I put my grace upon you. What do you mean you'll do it yourself? Anything you have, I gave you. Everything you are, I made you. And yet we back up and go, I'll do it myself. I love these people that have tattoos running across their neck. Self-made. It should say, no, your mama and daddy made you. You had nothing to do with it. If it weren't for your mama and daddy, you wouldn't even be here. Self-made. The arrogance of the statement. And you say, well, you don't understand. He's just glad that he brought himself from wherever he brought himself. No, you don't understand the arrogance of the statement. You're not self-made. You know why? He didn't get where he got without somebody helping him get there. It just didn't. Listen, none of us got where we are without someone else getting behind us and helping us. None of us. So therefore, no one's self-made. I did it on my own. No, you didn't. Someone helped you. And the arrogance not to give the recognition. There's a poem, and I don't know who wrote the poem, but part of the poem said, I am the captain of my soul. I am the master of my fate. To which I want to say, well, Captain, your ship is about to sink. We cannot separate ourselves from God. And there's so many that feel that they are self-sufficient without God. And that is a spirit of independence apart from God. And the Bible condemns that. And the Bible calls that pride. And pride causes us to measure ourselves by another and to esteem ourselves better than someone else, right? Dude, your hair is so much nicer than mine. Are you prideful about that? No, I'm kidding, right? Look, right? He says that and goes, yeah, at least I got hair. I remember I was teasing Pastor Brothers a while back, and I was like, this has been years ago. I said, Pastor Brothers, man, your hair is really getting gray. To which he responded, I'd rather have old hair than no hair. And I had to be humbled because of that. Amen. All right, so here's some indications of pride. And you can answer these questions however you wish to answer it. But listen, all right, here we go. You ready? Does it irritate you when somebody corrects you for your faults? Nod your head. See, now pride says don't nod your head. So if you didn't nod your head, you got a pride issue. I'm just kind of helping you out there, right? Do you find yourself accepting, you don't have to nod on every one of these. Do you find yourself accepting praise sometimes for things over which you have no control? That's pride. Are you an individual who, when he does make a mistake, always has an alibi, always has an excuse, always justifies that mistake and excuses that mistake? It's pride. Do you find it difficult to seek counsel, to ask somebody for advice? That's pride. Are you the type of individual who other people say you don't even like to drive into a service station and ask for directions? That's a form of pride. I would tell you that is one pride issue I do not have. It drives me insane when people won't stop and ask for directions. I'm like, just ask them. I'm not going to ask them. Then stop. I will. Right? Listen, I will pull up beside someone in a car and where is? There's two things I don't have. Three things I don't have. One, I don't have money to waste gas. Two, I don't have much gas to waste. And three, I do not have the patience to drive around like a silly man. Ask somebody for directions, amen? Oh my goodness, right? Do you have an ungrateful spirit, not accepting graciously what God has given to you, or perhaps grumbling for what God has not given to you, as though something is owed to you? That's pride. Is your life a life that is marked by a sense of competition, and you measure success by victory over other people? That's pride. All these things are indications of pride. And so we're going to talk about the peril of pride. And we are going to be in the book of Proverbs for the most. So if you want to open your Bibles and highlight, and it's not sin to highlight your Bible, it's not a sin to write in your Bible. I think it's really good because the next time you go and read your Bible, you see what you marked and it brings back memories of the sermon, or it brings back memories of what God has taught you. So I want to encourage you to write in your Bible. Just don't push real hard and rip the pages. That's all right. All right. So the first thing that we're going to look at is pride provokes deity. Pride provokes deity. And you go, what do you mean, right? Listen, pride angers God. Pride angers God. Look here in Proverbs 6:16. These six things the Lord hates, yet seven are an abomination to him. Pride angers God. And according to this, go to the next. Do I give you 17? A proud look. Do you realize just looking arrogant, God hates? Think about that, right? Just looking like you think you're somebody, God hates that. A proud look. God hates it. Did that look proud? Let me suck it in. Hurry up, I can't breathe. All right. Look here in Proverbs 16:15. Everyone proud in heart. Okay, there's the condition, right? Understand, it stems from in your heart. All right. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Oh, Wait a minute. That doesn't count me. He's only talking about everyone. Would we be a part of the everyone? Someone say amen. So he might be talking about us, right? Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. Why does God have this great hatred toward a pride or an abomination of pride? Because of what pride does. Do you realize that if there had been no pride, there'd be no devil? Do you realize that pride is what made the devil the devil? He was the most glorious being. Now, understand being, right? The Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're completely separate from all beings, whether it's human being or the angels or anybody else. In Ezekiel 28:12, look at this. Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre. This is Satan, if you will. And say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. The Bible says in Ezekiel 28:15, you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. You were perfect until sin arose. See, we're wonderful in the eyes of God until sin arises within us. And God looks upon that sin and he does not like it. It was pride that corrupted Satan or Lucifer at the time, right? Look at this. Pride ruined the human race. Genesis 3:5. For God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. And Eve was like, ooh, I can be like God. And pride rose up within her. I don't even know if she saw the rest of or heard the rest of knowing good and evil. As soon as she found out she could be like God, all of a sudden she was like, she went into this little portal in her brain and then partook of the fruit. Now, we don't know if it was an apple. We just know it was a fruit, right? But pride ruined the human race. It is said every rape, every murder, every bit of pillage, every bit of dishonesty, every bit of cruelty, every bit of perversion, all suffering, all sorrow, all sin. You can say pride did that. Pride destroys. No pride, no devil, no devil, no fall, no fall, no sin. All is rooted in pride. You see the damage that pride does. Guys, we have to check ourselves. Of all the six abominations, they come or stem from pride. In Proverbs 6:16 through 19, pride leads the parade. That's all I'm going to say, right? And remember, the basic pride is a basic sin that leads to all other sins, and it's the sin of independence from God. Number two, pride proves depravity. Pride shows us that we are a depraved group of people. 1 Peter 5:5. It's not that God won't help you. He literally becomes our enemy when we are prideful. Likewise, you younger people. Interesting how he talks to the younger. I think because the older you get, the more wise you get, and the more you realize, the less you can do. I'm just excited I can put one foot in front of the other sometimes. That's right. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive. That all is everyone inclusive now, not just the younger people. Be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. That means no pride. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God literally will resist us when we are prideful and we have egos and we think we can stand alone. Proverbs 16:5. Everyone proud in his heart is an abomination to the Lord. Again, just to remind you what God thinks of pride. And if you're sitting there and go, man, I'm glad I don't have no pride, you might want to think about this. It never has to reach the hands or the feet in this. It's just if it's in your heart, God sees it. Proverbs 21:4, and I'm buzzing through this because if I don't, I'm never going to get done before 2 o'clock. If you're visiting, it's okay. Don't get, you'll be all right. Here we go. A haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin. The plowing of the wicked means that constant going forth and making a way, if you will, and planting or giving direction. And some say it's the light of the wicked brings haughty look and a proud heart. I wasn't sure about that. I investigated it. So I'm just going to say the plowing of the wicked are sin, meaning that it's that constant direction that they're trying to go into. And guys, it is absolute sin, and God does not like it. And God doesn't look at us like we look, you know, like I can look at you and you can deceive me. You can pretend that you're all holy and righteous and then go home and kill one another or almost kill one. And I would never know. So God doesn't look at us the way we look at each other. Look how God looks at us. Next verse, please. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance, or because talking about King Saul, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees, for the man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God sees us for who we really are. You could look at me, smile, and go, Pastor, I love you. And on the inside, you're going, I want to shoot you. I would never know. But God knows these things. And so I want you to know that God looks at the heart. And it's interesting because, you know, when we look at a little kid and we're like, how can they be so arrogant, right? It's like, because we could have 15 toys and when we were kids, right? And we're not playing with 14 of them. And then another kid comes over and grabs one and we're like, and smack him on the head and mine, right? Where'd that come from, man? That's pride and ego. And it comes from within. One of the, I found an illustration as I was reading and it really intrigued me. And I found myself Googling as much as I could about the apple, right? Because how many have picked up an apple and you see a hole in it? And you see the hole and you're like, whoop, there's a worm in it. And you throw it. Anybody ever done that? Come on, this is apple picking season. Man. And here's the reality. You can eat the apple because the worm is done. See, the hole in the apple is not the worm trying to get in. The hole in the apple is the worm getting out. They are planted in the apple. So what happens is these larvae are put on either the blossom or they come in and they have this needle, if you will, and then they inject the apple and they put the larvae in the apple. And so this worm literally starts growing in the apple. And then in order to get out, he's got to eat his way out. So the worm was already in the apple. It was raised in the apple. It was bloomed in the apple, however you want to look at it. But that's the way pride is. See, it starts on the inside. That's who we are. And then it just comes out like the worm. So the next time you see a hole in the apple and you think there's a worm in it, nah, he's done. You can have it, right? Because I'm going to tell you, it's like sin. Man, when it comes out, it's out, but it was in. Mark 7, 18 through 23. Boy, and I got to pick up the pace here. So he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Unless it's an onion every day for 30 days, it might smell like he's defiled, amen? But it doesn't defile him because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. Now you understand how the body works. And he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. Because what comes out of us comes from our heart. That's what defiles us. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And if you notice, pride is right in there. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. And that is why the baby doesn't want to give anything up, right? Because it's like, mine. Well, who taught that child how to be, who taught the child how to lie to protect themselves? Nobody teaches. That child knows. It's in them. Number three, pride. Wow, I got to roll. You guys better hold on because we're about to fly here. Pride promotes dissension. Pride promotes dissension. So we see where pride provokes deity, it proves depravity, and it promotes dissension. Did you know there's never been a war, an argument, a fight, a scuffle, a disagreement that turned into an argument that pride was not part of it? Pride promotes dissension. Here in Proverbs 13:10. By pride. See, I love how if I make a statement and then I have the Bible to back me up, you can't tell me I'm wrong. That's pride. Never mind. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Pride is what keeps us from solving problems. There are no problems too big to solve, only people too small to solve them. And what makes us small? We're independent of God. We don't seek His face. And so, therefore, we have nothing higher than us to hold on to. The reason we have arguments as husband and wife is that we do not attack the problem, we attack one another. Matthew 12:25 says this, and by the way, it's an ego problem. So if you and your if you are married and you two are constantly at each other's problem, you two are constantly the problem. You go, Pastor, I don't like it. I know, that's why I said it. Matthew 12:25, but Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. You cannot fight with one another and expect your household to stand. Pride brings division or dissension. Pride promotes dishonor. So pride provokes deity. Pride proves depravity. Pride produces dissension. And then the fourth thing, pride promotes dishonor. 1 Samuel 2:3, because you know the proud man wants the acclaim of other people. He wants honor. And look what this says. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And so we want to be noticed. And God's like, if you want to be noticed, you have to esteem Him. Proverbs 11:2. And what's interesting is we have a tendency that whatever we want it so bad that we ultimately cause ourselves not to get it. Proverbs 11:2. But when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. And so you're proud and you're arrogant. And the only thing that comes to you is shame. Shame. Why? Well, your house starts falling down. Listen, you can only hide it so much for so long. You can only, listen, if you got issues in your life, you can only hide it for so long. Because God says, I'll expose you. I'll expose you. You have pride, I will bring shame. As night follows day, shame follows pride. Look here in Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. We have to humble ourselves. Proverbs 18:12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Are you noticing a trend here? Humility, humility, and humility. Because if you are full of conceit and pride and your ego is high, everyone gets sick, especially those around you. Pride doesn't bring honor, it brings shame, and it promotes dishonor. Matthew 23:12. I'm loading you up with a bunch of scriptures, so keep up with me, okay? And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Now that's not a maybe or a possibility. God says will be humbled, right? And he who humbles himself will be exalted. And in case you're wondering who said this, it was Jesus himself. So I'm thinking he actually meant this. I don't know, just a guess. Here's another thing. Let me show you this. Isaiah 14. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Whew, he is a little bit full of himself, isn't he? And so what is he seeking? He's seeking praise, admiration, adulation, and he's seeking honor. He's seeking fame. But look here in Isaiah 14, 15 through 17. This is God's response to Satan and all of his I, right? He says, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. The pit being hell, in the lowest depths he will be sent to. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? They're going to look at you and go, you're nobody. You're nobody. God says, I will bring you down. But notice what pride did before it brought nations down. Guys, when you're full of yourselves and you bring your household down, if your household falls, it's not long before your town falls, and then before your country falls, and before everything else falls. It's just a matter of time. You cannot do it Satan's way and expect growth. You can't do it. And it's just a matter of time. And if you notice, America is not doing it God's way. America has chosen to do it Satan's way at every level, starting with the children, and teaching them the abominations of God as being good. And look where our families are. Look where the homes are. Look at the division that's going on. How many people are not willing to forgive? That's the beginning of pride. Or is pride so deep-seated? Either way, it's pride. They don't deserve my forgiveness. I'll punish them for the rest of their days. Meanwhile, they don't even know you don't like them anymore. And then what happens? It destroys you, and then you destroy the house or the relationships or the family, the marriages, whatever it is. I'm just telling you, your pride is acidic and destructive and destroys nations. Pride brings shame. I'm going to give you this passage, but I don't have time to read the whole thing. But if you want to change that, Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Yeah, go, pull that up for me real quick. Just let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. That's the beginning. That's the beginning of conquering pride. That is the beginning of building your house back up. That is the beginning of fixing your marriage. That's the beginning of fixing every relationship you have. That is the beginning of success the way God would have you to be successful. And as long as you deny doing it in the way Christ did it, having the mind of Christ, you are full of pride, your ego is over the top, and you are acidic, and you will destroy everything you touch, and it's only a matter of time. And you think that kind of power is good, but understand this, God is against you, right? Didn't we see the scriptures with that? God says that is unacceptable. It is absolutely unacceptable. And so if we want what we really want, we got to have the mind of Christ, not the activity of Satan. I'm just saying, like, because I want you guys to walk out of here feeling better about yourself. Someone say amen. Amen. That's all I've done. That's it. All right, listen. When I was reading an article, I found this in the article. It said, most of the people in America are egomaniacs strutting their way into hell, thinking they are too good to be damned. And I thought, wow, that is really powerful. Number five, and this is the last one. Is it warm in here or is it me? Oh, my goodness. Amen and amen. Everybody's complaining. We're all happy. All right. Number five. Pride, and boy, I missed this one. Pride precedes destruction. That's pride, not price. You wouldn't know it, but apparently my fingers don't know the difference between letters. Pride precedes destruction. And that brings us to the last point here, and we're going to look at it quickly. Proverbs 15:25. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Do I need to read it any further? The Lord will destroy. Do you think God is kidding here? God's like, listen, you arrogant, arrogant, arrogant person, you. Do you not realize that I give you breath? I give you ability? The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. But, and this is a beautiful thing, right? Because we have a choice. But he will establish the boundary of the widow. Here we go. Look here in Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goes before destruction. Guys, if you feel like your world's falling apart, the first place you look, not at your neighbor, not at your spouse, not at your children, you got to look at you. We have to stop and look inward. We have to examine ourselves. You know, it is said that the one who angers you controls you. If you're right with God, man, nobody has control over you. But if you're not right with God, you will bring destruction upon you. You will. I mean, we can't even run from this. And so if you want to fix your house, you got to fix you. How do we fix you? Well, we have the mind of Christ. That's where we start. That's where we start. And if we start there, we will fix a multitude of problems. The rest is up to God. The multitude of problems we fix is here. Then the other problems we say, Lord, they're yours. I've shared this before. My pastor in North Carolina, he's since passed away, but he used to lose sleep and get so angry because he's like, God, and now I can relate with him, but he was just mad at people because they weren't doing things. And then one day God told him, Upchurch, that's his last name, was Upchurch. And he said, and the rest of you will either suffer or be glad. There we go. All right. And he said, Upchurch, those people are my problem, not yours. Do what I've called you to do. So the next day they had a ball game at church. They had a baseball field. It was a very large church. Then they had a game. So he goes out to the game. He's setting up the bleachers. And he's like, God, you got a problem on first. And you got a problem in outfield. And you got a... Hey, man. Listen, we need to take care of us first. Then I want you to look here at Proverbs 18:12. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. God again is telling us, listen, you will be destroyed because of pride. Pride precedes destruction. Pride will produce domestic ruin. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Look what God told Israel. If my people, and listen, God told Israel this, but I can't help but to believe that if we were to exercise this, that God would honor it for us as well. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And the only reason people aren't turning is because they're so consumed with themselves. Pride is killing our country. I feel like, so I gotta be. All right, let me help you out. If you feel like, if you are a woman and you feel like a man, you will never be a man. And if you are a man and you feel like a woman, you will never be a woman. And it doesn't matter how many surgeries you go through. It doesn't matter all the altercations that you do to yourself. You will never become what you are not. Amen. It's not gonna happen. And I can prove it to you. If you were to die and someone were to take your bones and carry them out into the middle of the desert and leave them out there for 50 years, and then someone else dug them up and brought them to a scientist who had no clue, and they said, here is a femur, and we found it out in the desert, and it's been laying there for who knows how long. Can you tell me what it is? And they will do the DNA on it, and it'll come up, male or female, approximate age, the whole nine. Science proves you can't be but what God made you. Stop trying to be wicked. Become what God calls us. Seek God's face. But it starts with humility. Humble yourself first. That's what we got to do. We as a people have to humble ourselves before God. What does that look like? God, I am incredibly dependent upon you. Without you, I can do nothing. Without you, I am condemned. Without you, I am convicted. Without you, I am sentenced to hell. Without you, I have no ability. Without you, I can't take my breath of air. Without you, I can't function with my fingers. Without you, I can't. God, without you, I am nothing. Humility. We humble ourselves, and then we seek God's face. And if we don't do that, we bring ruin, we bring destruction, because pride precedes destruction every time. And then I listed a few things here. Pride produces financial ruin, right? Buying things that we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't like. Pride produces emotional ruin. It'll make you a slave to the opinions of others. You go, I don't think much of myself. Well, you got a pride issue because now you're a slave to the opinions of others. And pride brings eternal ruin. The soul is going to be destroyed in hell because of pride. It's interesting in Luke 18, 10 through 14, and you can write that down. I don't have time to read it, but it's between the Pharisee and the publican. And the Pharisee, all righteous. I'm glad I'm not like this man over here. Meanwhile, the publican's looking up, forgive me for I'm a sinner. And God condemned the righteous Pharisee because he was only self-righteous. And the one who humbled himself, God lifted up. That's Luke 18, 10 through 14, if you want to go there. I want to show you some mighty men in the Bible and their thoughts of themselves, but yet they were mighty men and God looked. Matter of fact, Job, God said, Job is a man of integrity. There's none like him. And yet look what Job said about himself in 42:6. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. He says, I ain't nothing but a man and a proud man at that. And of course, you don't find that until you get to verses, chapters 37, 38, 39 toward the end. How about Isaiah? Isaiah is a mighty man of God. But in Isaiah 6, 5, so I said, woe is me, because what he got to witness God. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Woe is me, I am undone, and I'm unclean. See, Isaiah's comparing himself with God, not with other people. That's when we realize who we are, right? And then look here in Daniel, when Daniel saw the Lord. No, I'm sorry, my forgiveness. Peter, when Peter saw the Lord, Luke 5:8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Daniel, when he saw the Lord in Daniel 10:8. Therefore, I was left alone when I saw this great vision and no strength remained in me. No strength. In other words, he just went completely weak because he realized who he was. For my vigor was turned to frailty in me and I retained no strength. When he saw the Lord, he realized who he was in the Lord. And so we have to stop comparing ourselves with other people and compare ourselves with Jesus Christ. And the best way to do that, the best place to start is turn Facebook off and social media off. It's the best place to start. I mean, you start there, you're already miles ahead of the rest, and pick up the scripture. What we need today is God's grace. And I finish with this passage. Luke 14:11. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You want to be exalted? You want to live on high? Humble yourself and have the mind of Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you have a pride issue, you have an ego issue, and you're actually willing to admit it when nobody's looking but the pastor, and you need prayer today, would you be willing to raise your hand? Amen. Hands up all over. Hands up all over. Got some waving. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we should all be waving our hands. Father, we all have issues where we are so self-reliant and dependent sometimes. Father, when we run to sin, we're running away from you. And Father, we just need you more now than ever. Help us to not run to sin, Father. Help us to not think more of ourselves than we should. Father, help us to have the mind of Christ and to seek your face, Father, to read your word. And in humility, recognize our weakness and our frailty as Daniel did. And then repent and serve you, Father. Help us die daily, Father. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that is where it starts. It starts in Jesus. Without Jesus, we are nothing. Without Jesus, we have no hope of heaven. Without Jesus, our life is condemned to follow our father, Satan, if we do not know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It is not until we get saved that God becomes our father and Satan becomes our enemy. Until that moment, Satan is the father and God is your enemy. If it is your desire to give your life to Jesus Christ, you pray this prayer. Now understand, the prayer is not magical. There's nothing about the words that will save you. What saves you is that you believe in your heart of hearts the words you're about to pray. If you don't mean them, if you really don't want to believe unto Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please spare yourself of saying any words and deceiving yourself and thinking everyone else. But if it's your heart's desire to give your life to Jesus Christ, to believe unto him as your Lord and Savior, the only one that you can get to heaven with, then you pray this prayer quietly to yourself. Jesus, today I admit I have a pride issue. Today I admit without you, I have no hope. Today I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you are the only way to heaven. I believe that you conquered the grave. You conquered death. You conquered hell. I believe that you are at the right hand of the Father. I don't understand all of it, but I believe it. Today, I ask that you forgive me of all the wrong I've ever done. And today, I repent. I'm no longer going to walk the way of the world. I'm going to turn from the world, and I'm going to walk towards you. I repent. Today, Jesus, I give you my life to do with as you please.